Hey, it's Brie Bagwell with your Only Vans Breecap. There's not enough time to talk about how amazing Andrea McGee is. First of all, just joining us on a show day and her incredibly busy schedule. She showed up full of love and light and laughter and the best accent. Originally from Ireland, she's now residing in Austin, Texas, where she has made an incredible mark in the live music capital of the world, while also founding Music Helps in Austin, a nonprofit that harnesses the healing power of music with kiddos who need it most, and creating the She Rises Festival in Taos, New Mexico. She's also half of the duo Beatroot Revival with fellow musician Ben Jones, where she plays a drum. You just have to see it to believe it. And she is a part of the superwomen group PAACK, P-A-A-C-K, which you should check out at the Saxon Pub at the earliest possible opportunity. She can do it all, but what strikes me as equally as her beauty is her intelligence, openness, wisdom, and kindness. Follow at Andrea McGee Music on Instagram and SheRisesFest.com for tickets to the festival in Taos coming up July 16th through 18th. I'll be there too. Please listen to her new record, Wild Woman. And Andrea, you're a true gem. Thank you so much for this chat that made me cry like 12 times in the best way. Enjoy. Hey, y'all, it's Brie Bagwell. I want to invite you to join me August 12th through 16th in Red River, New Mexico for 8750 Music Festival. This boutique festival features 4 days and 4 nights of outstanding musical performances across 5 venues and includes a barbecue cook-off and a red and a green chili cook-off. 3-day passes are on sale now, and your ticket gets you into every show of the festival and includes 2 free meals. You can get tickets, sign up to compete in the cook-off, and learn more at 8750festival.com. That's 8750festival.com. And use coupon OnlyVans. That's OnlyVans, all caps, no space at checkout to get $10 off your 3-day pass. 8750 Festival, adjust your altitude. By the way, me and producer Kyle, we're both playing at the festival, so you can come see us there.
I think we all were needing each other and we didn't even know it. I certainly was. Like, I miss my sisters. I come from like a big female family, and when you're over here, you have to build your own wee network. And I think I was getting to a point where I'm like, gosh, I'm so far away from my sisterhood. And
hey, hey, everybody. This is Brie Bagwell, and this is my podcast, Only Vans, where I talk to my friends in my van.
Long, we might as well just start. You can't have long nails. I can't have long nails and play guitar.
Oh, I know.
How does Dolly Parton do it?
I know. I tried with, I got, when I went home to Ireland at Christmas, I got the like proper pointy, ooh, sexy ones. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, I'll not be playing because I never play when I go back. And I literally tried to play a song and I was like, how does Dolly Parton do this? Like, this is insane. Like, she must have like double jointed finger pads,
or maybe the strings have to be like farther off of the guitar. Listen, Kyle, how does Dolly Parton play the guitar with nails? Kyle knows everything. He's like, I don't, why would I know that? That's okay. Yeah. Wait, what do you mean you don't play when you go home? You don't play guitar?
I usually work myself up to like such a level of exhaustion that I get on a plane and go back to Ireland and usually get sick at the start of it because I've just been touring or playing and just doing way too much. So I just go home and I focus on just being with my family.
I love that.
Yeah. It's like a holiday that's a family holiday.
Yeah. Is your family musical?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
is mine. And when I go to Las Cruces to see my family, we don't play music. We eat enchiladas and...
Yeah. We just eat and drink and
be merry.
Yes.
When did you move here?
So I moved here in officially 2015, but I came in 2014 and did like the tourist visa for a year, like hopping in and out every 90 days and did the very first trip. Ben Jones and I did 90 cities. Oh my God, shut up. We did 21 cities in 90 days. Okay. There you go. I'm just talking absolute shit here.
There's a lot of numbers in there. Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah, we did a crazy one. And then halfway through it, Austin was like our destination. And we were like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just felt like that's where you wanted to be.
It was a no-brainer. Yeah. It was just so obvious. And like, you know, when you're hustling hard and no one knows you in any city, every city's going to be hard. Mm-hmm. But Austin was just like, we like love you instantly. Like our first gig. Now, I mean, we went and got them. Like we would go in and talk to people and really figure out how to do it. and we went to Ginny's Little Longhorn. Talked to, I just ended up standing beside the bar manager, not knowing. And I was like, excuse me, just trying to get through. And he's like, are you Irish? And I like started talking to him. And I was like, yeah, here on this like crazy trip to change our lives. And he was like, hold on a second. And he went and got the owner. And he was like, I don't know what this girl is. We don't know what the story is. But don't you need a band like in front of Deal on Sunday? And she was like, yeah. She's like, you want to do it?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah. So that was our first gig. In Austin was opening for Chicken Chip Bingo.
Chicken Chip Bingo, I was going to say.
Yes. And then how can you not fall in love with the city after I was like, there's a chicken pooping on a number and the world has just opened up and been so kind to us.
Right.
And then he like invited us to open for at the Continental the next night. That was our introduction to Austin.
And you're talking about you playing with Pat, right?
No, this is Ben. That? This is Beetroot.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Beetroot yeah. Revival. Yes. That's what I meant. Mm-hmm. Terribly sorry.
It's all good.
You have so many projects.
I know.
And this is Andrea McGee, everybody. Hi. M-A-G-E-E. Yes. Just to clarify.
Thank you.
Well, yeah.
Everyone always gets it wrong, but it actually doesn't really bother me.
It's just going to happen. Mm-hmm. I get my name every which way wrong. And the other day, look at me. Now I'm messing up my words. Like a couple years ago, this guy, he said, hey, where's the lead singer? And I was about to go on stage. And I said, what? And I kind of like laughed and he was serious. And then he goes, well, I don't know where he is, but I hear he's pretty good. This is Bri Bagwell. And I like walked on stage and he looked at me like what?
That's so good.
Like, yeah. So.
Oh, that is a really good one.
Nothing surprises me anymore. I like to tell everyone how to spell.
He's going to be great.
Yeah, he's going to be. And he was embarrassed.
That is good. I had one guy one time. Like I played a gig with Pat actually. It was in Dreamland, and my friend, well, now he's my friend, but he was the booker at the time, and he was like, and you'll never guess what, I have this, I got Andrea McGee, I booked her for next week. And I was like, you did? Because she's right here. And he was like, what? Oh. You're the girl from Belfast? I was like, yep. That's me. And he was like, I thought you were just like playing with, it was very confusing, but it was hilarious.
That's very funny because I feel like you're very hard to confuse with somebody else. Like
here, maybe. Yeah.
Like, yeah. You speak the way you do. Yeah. You're stunningly gorgeous. But all of your projects are so fun. I want to talk about them all because the first time I guess I saw you live was Beetroot Revival was at the Big Barn Dance.
That's right.
And I had got for years, like, people were telling me how to meet you. They're like, you would love her. You gotta meet her. She's incredible. And so when we got there, I was like, I gotta go. And I found you and you were braiding your hair. And I was like, hi, I don't want to interrupt you. But and that was, I was blown away by that performance. Like,
yeah, the barn dance is something else.
You were just so good. I don't even know what to call the drum that you play. What do you call
it? It's a boron. So it's just a Celtic Irish instrument.
Okay.
It's a really old traditional instrument. But I've just figured out how to make it sound a bit more versatile. It's just a bit different. Yeah.
Yeah. It has just a lovely, like, low tone.
Well, the barn dance in Taos, it loves certain places. Like, it just, the humidity and stuff, like, works better for it. So it sounds a little different, you know? And as the first time I ever played at the barn dance, I was like, oh, it likes it here.
It's so spiritual in town. Like, and seeing
the
you,
tribal kind of thing.
Totally. Mm-hmm. And seeing you play, and you have such amazing rhythm. I'm always super self-conscious of my rhythm.
Oh.
And you have like perfect rhythm. Like,
I don't know.
Is it in your blood or is it?
I started as a dancer. Oh. So like I Irish danced from like the age of 5 to, I don't know, 8 or 9. And then I Latin danced from the age of 11 to like 18.
What is Latin dancing?
Like Latin American dance, like cha-cha,
okay.
Samba, rumba, jive.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
This is so fun.
So dance is in there. So I think that is where my, my inner clock comes from. So I'm kind of locked in
that. Makes a lot of sense because you can play on offbeats or you know where the beats go. Like there.
I think if you're a dancer, you're like, oh, it's hard to not, you know?
Well, it makes it a lot of sense because I'm not a dancer.
Although I still can't wrap my head around two-stepping. Like, because for me, I'm always like, what's this extra one? What the fuck? Like, but I've figured it out a little, but I'm still like, when people try and lead me, I'm still trying to like flare it up and be all cha-cha.
The New Mexico two-step is different than the Texas two-step. Oh. And it makes more sense mathematically okay. to me than the Texas two-step. Because yes, the Texas one, you're off every other whatever.
Yeah. I just always feel like there's like a little extra.
Totally.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Listen, I will have your back on that because I'm not from Texas, so yeah. I can say it.
And okay.
Yeah, other people will be like, you're wrong. But yeah. I'm like, no.
I didn't even realize there was like a New Mexico and a Texas two-step because we're doing, this is a nice segue, we are actually introducing a two-stepping night with Rosie Flores at She Rises.
Oh my gosh.
Because it's really taken off at the venue that we have the festival at, and I went to it when I was in Taos last time and I was like, oh, this is magical. You know when you first walk into the Broken Spoke and you're like, oh, I love dance so much. That was another reason I fell in love with Austin. But yeah, we're bringing that into She Rises this year, and I just presumed it was the same. That's yeah. just so interesting.
Well, I mean, Northern New Mexico might be different than Southern New Mexico. Yeah. So, but I think geography does play into it. And I'm a pretty good two-stepper. Oh. Like, I know this about myself. And I moved to Austin and I went to the Midnight Rodeo when I was 18. And this guy asked me to dance. And he said, what the hell are you doing? What the hell are you doing? And then I didn't know there was two different types. Ones. So, yeah, that's very interesting. So, wait, where is this two-stepping?
So, on the VIP night, Rosie Flores is going to close the night with, we're doing like two-stepping lessons and then just clearing the dance floor. Kind of like what they do at the Barn Dance.
Yeah.
But just having that as a VIP, because the inside of our festival ground, there's like an indoor area, is so magic. And so I was like, we have to use this.
Yeah.
And when I saw it, I was like, oh, we have to do it. I just love it. I find it so magical watching people just circle around.
It is magical. Yeah. And I love that the way you talk about it, because it's like, we can't forget that. But I have a rule where I don't dance with anybody that's not my boyfriend, because it's just, you know, shit. It's just a little weird. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I wouldn't want him to be two-step. So I get asked a lot on the road.
That's also a really good, like, you know, get out of jail free card. Like, because I'm sure you get asked a lot to dance and you're like, I can't do it.
And we have this rule.
Yeah, I love this rule.
Yeah, can whether I want to or not.
Rule?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
I can't dance with anybody but Bree.
But Bree. Because she New Mexico two steps and yeah. I don't know how to Texas two step.
Only the hot ones. I'll say yes.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, you can give me a FaceTime. I'll approve. I'll give you a thumbs down. But I love to, when I do get to dance with my boyfriend, it is very special. Yeah. He's a great dancer, so I love it, but
isn't
I miss
that so attractive when people, man, can dance.
Totally. Or like when I bartended at this bar on 6th Street that's not there anymore, they used to have salsa lessons on Wednesdays, mm-hmm. and I would go dance with the instructor, and we were not together or anything, but I was like, whoa, mm-hmm. like a man who can salsa dance mm-hmm. is
so good.
That's so fun. Have you, you need salsa, to find you a salsa dancing
man. I know. I really do want to find, I wrote that in my little, you know, in your manifesting, whatever. I want to get back to more dance. And I'd love to find like a Latin salsa dance night and just go. But I want to find a good partner.
Yeah.
Because it's not a solo thing. Like, you can't freestyle.
Or what about, you should go on that, Austin has the Dancing with the Stars.
I would like that is in like my little girl dream book.
Can I nominate you for that?
Please.
Kyle, write it down. Because they have it. My friend Kendall Beard. You know Kendall.
If you make this happen, I might actually love you for the rest of your life.
Okay, good.
I want to do this so bad.
You can do anything.
I think that's why I saw Kendall doing it and I was like, oh, I used to do that.
You need to do this. Like, I'm going to make this happen. Because I'm the last person who should be doing it. But I know talent when I see it, baby.
Okay, so, I would love this is to so do exciting. It. Yay.
Okay, well, we need to talk about She Rises because it's my first year going.
It's not
going to
be your last, though.
I have watched the videos and I get goosebumps. It's all female festival. How much work you put into this thing is unbelievable.
Yeah.
You created it and now it's like taken off. The lineup is insane.
It's just found its feet. It's taken a lot of learning.
Mm-hmm.
I am a yes person and I'm a doer, but the first couple of years definitely tested a lot in me, but I'm so grateful for the test because it's all worth it. After it all comes together, you're like, oh my word. Mm-hmm. This is why we do it. There's like an energy to it that is, and it is all female front runners, but like my full band is all amazing men. And the men that are there and that attend it, just the whole community, it's just this like bubble of love. Like, and there's a vibrance and like a real spectrum of color to the love, you know, like there's different festivals have different vibes. Like every time you go, you feel it. This one just has this rainbow that you're like, what am I a part of right now?
That's so beautiful. Yeah.
And that's not, I'm not taking responsibility for that. That's because everybody has given everything to it, you know?
I love that. Because I think a lot of times when people hear like all female, you think it's not man hating. It's man inclusive. And like the guys that do go probably have the time of their lives.
Well, it's so funny because I remember when Sarah Hearn and I started it with, we like sat and we were like, well, like there's lots of like, you know, festivals for everyone, but the heterosexual woman. And we were both like, we both love men. Like, we're not like, you know, not too much, but like in a healthy way. Yeah. But we're both like, we've got, like, we're both that. And she was like, let's just go for that. Like, let's, and that in itself brings the, we're like, welcome, men, please, because we love you.
Yeah.
We just want to even out the scales a little bit. That's all it is.
Totally. And the lineup isn't so incredible. Tell us a little bit about who's...
Yeah, so this year we have Ruthie Foster, which I'm just so glad
it came through. I have goosebumps just right now.
But... Yeah, I always wait after the last one and I'm a bit woo-woo about it, but I like wait till it comes in and I see it. And I saw her and I was like, that's who needs to be on it this year. And she couldn't do it to start with. And then something fell through. And then she was like, hey, I can do it. And I was like, I saw it. And then we have Rainbow Girls, which are, they're just incredible. They're California based. Women of Country, which is...
Brennan Lee. Melissa Carper.
And
Kelly Willis.
Thank you so much for being parted there.
Them as a trio is unbelievable.
My chin hairs grow when Brennan sings. I'm like, stop.
Oh, I know. I know.
There's her a voice of it.
They and all her guitar incredible. Playing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, I started getting chin hair in my late 30s. That was a new thing for me, too.
Yeah, there's that one. There's just that one where you're like, I miss that?
We can blame it on Brennan now.
Yeah,
though.
I literally, when I hear really amazing people, I'm like, nope, stay in.
Hold on. Get back in there.
Yeah, it's just obviously you're joining us for the first time. I've wanted you to be there for so long.
Susan Gibson's coming, I saw. Gibson. Mm-hmm. I love her.
Rosie Flores. I have the Bridgerdines, which are from, I want to say Nashville. I tried my best to just like include as many as possible from all over, but also just this year, I just recognize that we are a destination festival and there is so much talent in this area, Austin and the surrounding area, that I'm just kind of really celebrating the fact that we're all bringing that to Taos.
Yeah.
You know, because the talent is just extraordinary.
That's so exciting.
Oh, King Margo.
King Margo.
Oh, they're so good.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited.
They played last year at the VIP and then Beatroot did a show with them and I was like, okay, you have to be on the main stage like this. I just adore their whole presence. I love watching people that are brilliant and then are funny as fuck. As
hilariously
well. Sorry,
funny.
I need to stop swearing.
You can swear on
okay.
this.
Only no more dad. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. I know. We say sorry, mom, to my mom.
Yeah, my dad is always like, please stop swearing.
I know. I can't help it sometimes. A well placed cuss word is. Can be on this.
Only one.
Yeah. No. As many as you want.
But yeah. No. King Margo.
Okay. That's and they are so kind too and funny, like you said, and just unbelievably talented. So
and just very real and like that. Yeah, that just cuts through for me. Mm-hmm. I'm probably missing a load. Like,
I know
Christine Albert. I had Eliza Gilkison last year, and I'm sure/know that she'll be making an appearance, a cameo.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I love Eliza.
Yeah.
She's just going to come and sit in with a couple of,
Okay.
She's a big supporter of our festival.
That's incredible. What you've done is really unbelievable and magical and hopefully when this is out there's still tickets left
hopefully they're moving fast, they're moving good, and I've just got to a point where we started so big with this and I think it was like we were very ambitious and then we recognized that you got to give something some time to grow as well. Like, and I have just got a real peace to like knowing that whatever the festival is every year is what exactly what it's meant to be. Like, you know, it is a smaller festival than we thought. You know, at the start we were like, oh, we'll cap it at like 3,000. And that was just not what it became to start with. It's a much more boutique, kind of in the kind of 500 to 800
right
size. And that is perfect for it, you know.
I love that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really smart. A lot of times people, you know, multiple times people have come to me and been said, we want you to headline this an all-female Texas thing. I said, look, I'm not going to bring what you are, yeah. And then it's going to look bad on me. And for all then I feel like I carry the burden of all females everywhere. If yeah. I have a festival and I didn't bring enough people, and then people say, oh, well, it's a female, you know, like
it is hard. It like, that was the pressure that I felt real bad the first couple of years. And then I just let it go. And now, because obviously coming to America, I was like artist forward. I was like in front of the curtain on the stage, and now I've been opened up to all of the goings on behind the scenes, you know, having all the agents call you, having like being wearing, because I know the artist role and now I know all the other roles as well. And it just doesn't, a festival doesn't, isn't the exact, it's not the same as like, say I go and do a big show, one big show here. Like, I've recognized that they're like, your demographic is just different, your draw is different. And you just have to go with the flow. You just have to figure out how to make it work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. And people are really choosing, at least it seems to me, where to spend their money and where to do things, in terms of they're not necessarily going to their honky tonk every Thursday, but they're going to a destination festival, mm-hmm. and making that like their big
yeah.
thing. And so that's really fun. This is your chance to do that, because it is, when I saw the lineup, I was like blown yeah. away.
Hey, this is Bree Bagwell, and if you want to listen to this podcast early and ad-free, subscribe to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/BreeBagwell.
Howdy, y'all. It's Bree Bagwell, and I know y'all support the people who support me, so let me tell you about Deep Ellum Brewing Company. Born and raised in Deep Ellum, Texas, Deep Ellum Brewing Company has really made its mark on the beer world. Known for its flagships, Dallas Blonde and Deep Ellum IPA, they put boring beers to shame with a full lineup that's unapologetically not brewed to style. My personal favorite is the Dallas Blonde. It is so easy to drink. I just took it home for the holidays and my whole family was like obsessed with this beer. No joke. They drank it all. Thanks a lot, family. So head over to deepellumbrewing.com to open the beer vault and give your fridge what it deserves. And you'll see why love runs deep for Deep Ellum Brewing Company. Available in Texas and Oklahoma, side effects may include severe happiness. Deep Ellum Brewing Company products are for individuals 21 and older, and we encourage drinking responsibly. Are you ready to take your merchandise to the next level? Well, just ask me who I use, and that is CH Lone Star Promo. They specialize in screen printing and direct-to-garment, embroidery, laser engraving, anything promo-related, they can do it. Step up your merch game now with CH Lone Star Promo and tell them Brie and Whiskey sent you. And it also supports your nonprofit too, right?
Yeah.
Which we need to talk about that too.
It does, yeah. Right. So when it first came to me, I had just started the nonprofit, and that's how I made it make sense in my head. I got approached by a promoter who was like, do you want this weekend? I think you should do something with it, like put together a festival. And I was like, well, I've just started this nonprofit to like utilize the healing power of music on children with severe trauma. These are two massive projects to come at me at once. Like, and
yeah.
me being the maniac that I am, I just was like, well, I'll just tie them together. So as long as the festival supports the nonprofit, then it makes sense in my heart. And if it makes sense in my heart, I can make it work. So yeah, it is our main fundraiser to support the programs, which are now bi-weekly at Helping Hand Home for Children and monthly at Dell Children's Hospital, where we go in and write songs and perform at the bedsides. And we're really trying to get that. This year we're going to split the pot with a nonprofit in Taos as well, so that it makes sense for the destination. Because ever since I started this, I really wanted it to be apparent that I want to give back to the community that is giving us the beautiful land that we get to go and be in.
Right.
And you know, drink in.
That's awesome. We started donating to two dog shelters that were like one from my hometown and one in the New Braunfels. Mm-hmm. And now everywhere we go, we're like, oh no, now we have like 10, you know, you meet all these people that you love and mm-hmm. you fall in love with. That That is so beautiful. I played the Dell Children's Hospital one time, and I've done Dallas Children's a few times, but the first time I ever played Dell Children's, I went and I realized, oh no, I don't have that many songs that are kid friendly.
It's so funny you say that, because the recent workshop that we did, we literally stood outside the bit. We were just doing like a round of 15 kids. And every single song we went to sing, we were like, oh no, I can't sing that.
No, I can't sing. That one has whiskey. That one has beer. That one has cheating.
Or also then, because of the setting that you're in, like everything becomes like really, really dramatic and sad. You Are My Sunshine.
Oh, right.
Like all these little songs that are just, because you can only do 30 seconds. It's very quick turnaround. It's just like to really give the family a bit of reprise and like bring some positivity. So we ended up just doing a lot of Disney stuff, but everyone we went to go and sing, we're like, oh no. And even when we're singing it, we're looking at each other like, oh.
I know. I know. I started doing Disney songs too. And then I was actually really shocked. I sang a song in Spanish and that was like the hit, which was okay. But I need to make more of an effort to write kid-friendly songs. My mom told me every one of your songs has hell or damn. So I told her I'm going to write her a song called Hell Yeah, Damn Right.
I love that.
A song for my mom. But now that I want to do more things like that, you're more conscious of it when you write songs. And speaking of your new record, though, I feel like you could play a lot of those songs.
Yeah. I mean, I try and like, I bring a lot of other musicians in with me too, and I kind of try and spread it all out. But I'm really happy with that little record.
I was gonna gush at you over text message, but I thought I should just wait, because it is, you should be just so proud of that record. It was so good. It blew me away. It's gorgeous, but it feels just like so you.
Thank you.
Like it has all the sounds of you, and like your accent really cuts through, but like the songwriting is incredible. It seems like it's very like self-aware record of maybe like where you are at this moment in your life or something. I really related to so, it's
well,
just so
thank
good.
You because there's I'm so glad, thank you for saying that, because there's moments where I'm like, oh, have I been a little too like, you know, open, because I'm just a very open person, and like it's hard to have the right perspective. And I'm like, wow, you're just giving it straight, but that's all I really know what to do. Like as a songwriter, I'm not a prolific poet. I'm a very honest, heart-driven, like, oh, if I feel it, and then I will try my best to articulate it in a much more poetic manner, but I know the songwriter that I am now, and I'm just accepting it and pushing, right? There was times I'm sure my ego was like, oh, you need to be, you're not John Prine, you're not doing this, you're not, and you know, and then with this record, I was like, you know what? I'm just who I am. And even if this is just going to fall on 100 ears, it's my little story. Like
that's exactly what I got from it, that it was completely authentic, which I think we talk about that a lot on this podcast, where authenticity is what what people actually crave and relate to the most. And it is very authentic. And there's very specific lines in there that make me feel like you're telling the truth or whatever. Yeah. You know, like there's never a moment where I'm like, nah. It was just so truthful, but it was poetic and beautiful too. So it was all those things.
Well,
and like define me, like destroyed me.
Oh.
That is so good.
That's an honest one. I wrote that after an afternoon with a little boy at the children's home.
Or define you, sorry.
I released it, don't worry. I'm not pretending, I'm like, which one?
Well, I made your song personal to me.
I love that. Don't let it define you. Yeah, I like that. But yeah, no, I was in the home, and obviously the Helping Hand Children's Home is a home for severely traumatized children. Like they belong to the state, they're in protection. And, you know, their situations are, you can't even, I have to disassociate. It's so, so bad. But this one afternoon, I was writing a song with this little boy who was so adamant that he was not letting me in. Like, he was just like, no, I don't like music. No, thank you. And we were doing like a little list of like presents that he would, musical presents that we were going to try and bring him. And he was trying to do that. And then I just like got a couple of like, what's your birthday? You know what? And I just started writing this little country ditty to start with. and wrote this other song that was just for him. And as I was playing it, he's like, I mean, he's 5 years old or 6 years old, and he's like just the cutest little kid. And he's like sitting writing, and he's like trying his best to like hit on me, and you know, I'm just sitting there. And then he's like, I start playing it, and it's like ding ding ding, like it's a really, you know, giddy thing. And he's like, hey. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, and he points under the table, and his foot is tapping exactly on the beat. He's like, why is my foot doing that? And I was like, oh, you like it? And he's like, I don't like this boy has so much character. But it just, in that moment, I got to see the resilience of what this little boy is faced, yet he still found a way to like trust me and also just open up.
Yeah. Oh, that's made where me cry.
Yeah, and that, I went home and I was like, God, he just didn't let it define him.
Yeah.
He just won't let this situation define him. And obviously then you know, you relate it to yourself where you're like, I can't let, you know, whatever's going on, whatever depression I'm going through, whatever, you know, life problem that we're facing, you can't let it own you. You have to live it, but you can't let it own you. And that was, it was just like all this mix of all that.
That's so beautiful. Did you just feel like you had this calling to help these kids, or I mean, what, how did that even start?
So I was a high school music teacher before I came here.
You were?
Mm-hmm. I got an opportunity to do like a master's PGCE. My dad begged me to do it. I did it, which meant to be a year, and then I was meant to do the whole Nashville go to America thing. And then I got offered like a job to take over a department. It was kind of like a sister act situation, you know? And I was like, this is a first time teaching job. Like, I'm going to go for this just because they say go for interviews. And obviously being like a performer, like I knew how to, like, I did this like interview where I got them all singing, you know, Eminem Stan. And I like broke it down into like I got them beatboxing, and like I knew myself, I was pulling out all the stops. And I got offered the job, and again my dad was like, you've got to take this head of department job. It was in Kent, just outside London. So I took it with the idea I'll stay for a year or so. Ended up staying for 3 years. Absolutely loved it. Did like big productions, like I put on Sister Act, Lion King, like all Wicked, all of that stuff.
Oh, come on.
Uh-huh. And then it was one of my form tutor, or one of my form class, like I was, what, at that point, what, 26? These kids were 18. Like, that's not a big gap, but like, and I used to check them in the morning, they'd make me my coffee, and yeah. One of the little kids, I got really friendly with his mum as well. We were going through like, what do you want to do with life? You know, how are you doing? Like, this is your last year in school. And he was like, you know what, miss? We've all been talking and you're not doing what you tell us to do. I was like, what do you mean? He was like, you're not living the dream. You should be, we know you gig, like, because I was still gigging like every Thursday. And we're like, we know you're in town gigging, and why don't you go do it? Like, you're making your wee CDs and all. Like, and I was like, you're right. And it like went right in. And then after that, I quit my job and met Ben. He was living in Maidstone. He was like a little rock star, kind of rocking the scene. And he was coming to America. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go do this.
Wow. Did you ever want to go to, like you said, Nashville, but that was...
That was just more like there's a Nashville and Belfast had this Sister Cities program for a long time. So like I was always aware that Nashville was a songwriter, and like... I was always drawn to LA. All the big cities, I've always just had a feeling of like, well, if you want to figure something out, you got to be there. Like, if you want to get into the industry, like, you've got to kind of surround yourself with it. But yeah, it was just like a calling of some sort of like, I knew I needed to let go of all security, so that I knew this was going to be hard. And when it got really hard, I had nowhere to run to. So I had to just keep going forward.
That's awesome.
So like I couldn't go back to Ireland. The times that I wanted to just go home and see my parents and be like, oh, I just want to like, I just couldn't do it. So you just had to keep going forward.
That's so interesting. I know mine's not even near as far, but my family's, you know, 10-hour drive away. Yeah. And it just kind of forces you to pivot and just figure it out, which is what I feel like I've been doing for 15 years, is just pivoting and figuring it out. And my mom always jokes that, you know, I was just far enough away that by the time I had my mental breakdown, by the time she got here, I would be over it.
Yeah.
Like, whatever. And it's kind of, that is a beautiful thing.
Well, because it's all in here, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you gotta, you need your support network, But you're the one person that's going to make the change.
Right.
Like, so you're going to be the one person that just, like, hears that little whisper that goes, get out of bed. Just go and try one more time.
Yeah.
Like, I have had that so many times in my life where I'm going to give up. Like, I had moments even with the festival where I was like, I can't do this. Like, the second one, I went to hospital for the first time because my stomach was so bad, the stress I was feeling. And I was like, right. I'd resigned. I was like, I don't know how I can physically do it. And I just heard this little whisper, like, don't give up.
I've had moments like that where I feel the universe kind of gives me a hug mm-hmm. and it's just like, you're okay. I know. Yeah. One time I was in a hot spring in Terlingua and I was just ready to hang it up. Mm-hmm. And like the wind picked up and it kind of just told me like, hey, you're fine. Mm-hmm. And that's such a beautiful thing. And I know that I can get kind of hippie spiritual like See. That, but like it has helped me. And whether that's God or whatever, you know, yeah. you feel with music, you kind of have to have those moments because it's so easy to just want to throw it in.
Yeah, well, because it's not like it's not a normal industry. Like the amount of hours and like time and effort and energy that we put in any other occupation, we would be like, we'd be the top. Yeah, we I really know. Would. And it's like, it doesn't, but it has to come. It's, and that's where part of our pain lives. And that's where we access that pain. It's just like, you're either in it for life or you're like, it's, I'm stuck. Like,
right. yeah. What else are we going to do though? I mean, like, and now it's really cool. You are like a staple of the Austin music scene. Like you've really established yourself as that. I see your name on just really cool stuff that I'm like, yeah, you only get those opportunities if you're like really doing a great job. And to be a staple of the Austin music scene is one of the most impressive things, I think.
So. Well, yeah, when we first came here, I remember just being like, oh, you have to be so good to cut in here. Like yeah. We got like a deal in Nashville and spent a lot of time in Nashville and I love it. But there's something different in Austin that, I don't know. There's like, it's like the caliber in Nashville is incredible too, but there's something in Austin that it's just like, there's people are real and they're insanely good, like everywhere you turn, but they're not driving the art forward. They're not necessarily business focused all the time. And I definitely related to that too.
Yeah. yeah. In Nashville, sometimes it just got exhausting explaining yourself all the time or have like you feel like you are missing out if you're not networking, but then when you're networking you get tired of real connection or something.
It's exhausting.
Like, yeah,
and you feel gross. Yeah. I even feel gross during South By. That's my one, like, I always feel like dirty.
Yeah.
After I've been around all the South By stuff, I'm like, ugh, I don't want to ask you to choose me. I don't like it. Either you choose me or don't.
Totally. That's, you did such a good job explaining that because it's almost like impossible to explain, but that mm-hmm. is it was perfect.
Because you feel gross.
Yeah, you feel gross. And then I just get tired of being like, what, you know, what's your story? And like, you're like trying to pit. Well, I've done all of these things, but then I don't want to brag too much, but I want to brag, but I have to brag.
I know.
But then
if I brag, like, I'm sorry, I sound like an asshole.
Yeah, yeah. But you have to. And it's like, you're always trying to sell yourself when you're like, hey, I've been doing this for 15 years. I'm not going to pitch you like a salesman of myself.
Yeah.
And it sucks that you still have to pitch yourself, but you do. I mean, it's like you don't have somebody there representing you at all times. Like, yeah. Don't talk to her. I'm doing it.
I know.
It's gross feeling.
But that's, also there's that element of, on my journey, I find that when I've released it, because I have held tight to it and I have really been like, got to do this, got to do that. And then I got to a point where I was like, no. And I let it go. And now the right stuff just keeps filtering in because my mindset changed on it. Like, I didn't need, and it was when the pandemic came, like we were going so hard and fast and we were on those really big, like, national tours with the, as an opening act. And I just felt like I had to say yes to everything because we were signed to a major deal. Like, we got all, but it was like, oh, we have to say yes because we're in it now.
Yeah.
And then the pandemic stopped us. Ben was like, I can't go on. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, in my mind, I was like, this is the dream. This is what we're doing. And then I got that space to actually go, oh, this is really hard. And actually, I don't need to say yes to absolutely everything because it's not serving me as a human. I'm missing out on so many other parts of life just because I feel like I have to say yes all the time. Yep. And he was so good at recognizing that way earlier than me.
Good for him. But I think that's like male versus female. I don't know. We are kind of programmed to do it all and do it all at the same time. Mm-hmm. And like multitasking is actually bad for women too. Mm-hmm. It's bad for everybody.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh, you're a woman, you can multitask. It's like, that's bad for human brains. Mm-hmm. No matter what. And I'm in this space where I don't have a show for like 10 days right now.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to say no, and it is a total shift. I've said yes to everything for 15 years, and I'm starting to be really picky about what I choose. But it's taken me years to even be able to say no or figure out how to say no. Mm-hmm. Or it's a whole mind shift.
It really is. It's like a spiritual journey in mm-hmm. yourself. And also then it creates space for something else. That's the way I framed it. Was like, okay, well, if I'm having a little doubt here and I have the guilt and I have that, oh, you should do this, like this conditioning of like, well, if you want it, you go get it, you know? And I actually, at Christmas, I spoke to like a big manager in Ireland because I was gearing up to release Wild Woman. And, you know, his outlook on it is very much that, you know, well, if you really want it, you're going to be making a TikTok a day and you're going to be doing this and you're going to be doing that. And I'm like, I don't think you can question if I want it. I need to question whether or not I want it in this era, because it doesn't line up with my life. And my mental health has taken a battering, and I don't want to live like that anymore.
I love that. And it's also like, if you want it, you have to do this. You can do a TikTok a day and still not get it.
I know.
That's a thing. So it's like I have no problem working hard. Mm-hmm. And that's why maybe I love being on the road so much, and maybe why I have so much identity crisis when I'm not, because I know that I drive, I play the show, I meet the fans, I talk, I connect with the people, and then I get paid and I leave. That feels very tangible.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's
when
our
it's
little
like
system.
Yes. Yeah. So now when it's like, oh, now the business is all these things that are intangible, I don't know how to navigate that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we talked about like being 40, and it's like we grew up literally in a different time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, what if I don't want to do a TikTok today?
I know. Also, like, how lucky were we that in our childhood, teenage years, we didn't have a phone?
I know.
Like, because we're so available now, and it's just like, oh, I don't know. I'm really getting to a point where I'm just like, nah, I don't like it.
Like, I love it. I think that comes with age, and I'm getting like that too. I've got, you know, I get pitched songs every day that from people that aren't songwriters, and I just don't respond. And that was never me. I would never not respond. But it's like, I do not have the time or the space or the energy to be, you know, upset about this or even to devote to it.
Yeah.
You know,
you just got to start to learn to how to protect yourself in the right way. You know,
I'm trying. It's hard, but I think taking some time off, like you said, it gives you perspective,
because mm-hmm.
it's such a rat race, and you wake up and it's like coming at you from all angles. I can't imagine also having a festival on top of that.
But that, like, for me has been like it's been a really nice thing to know that that's like, I'm saying no to the things that like the industry stuff that I just don't feel comfortable in or I'm not able to navigate, but I do know I'm building something beautiful. Like, so those are like new revenue streams of like, it's not quite a revenue stream yet, but it's, you know, it's something that I'm like, oh, well, I'm still building and creating something really beautiful. And that like links it. Cause I think your original question was like, how did you get to the starting the nonprofit? Mm. It was because I wanted to get back to building something beautiful and real and something that related to why I started playing music in the first place, which was the feeling. Like when I was a kid, I just was very sensitive, very creatively minded, but like there's not a very open dialogue about your feelings in Ireland. Like it's more just like, okay, whatever, okay, you're all right. Come on, strengthen up, which I love. And I'm very grateful because it's given me the work ethic. But I didn't know where to put all the big feelings that I've always felt since I was a kid. So I turned to music and that's why I got into it. I think like, and then you get the... I suppose it is conditioning in some way, but the little dream gets born and you're like, I want to be a superstar. Oh, I can do this. And I love to perform. So it's like, it all made sense. But when you drive it so hard, you lose touch with a little bit of the magic of what the little kid thought. And that's why I got into the nonprofit, because I was like, I need to get the magic back. I need to go back to that place where you see it work. And that's when I'm working with those little kids, and you see it actually, like why we do it, you're like, fucking hell. It's insane.
Yeah. I've almost cried three times during this podcast, but that is so beautiful. And who can blame you for that? Like, that's part of the thing too is, you know, I had a manager that was just, he just didn't get it, you know, and it's so hard, but it was like, if I told him that, he would be like, no, they don't. Yeah. Sometimes they just don't, it doesn't compute with them. And that's kind of why I started this podcast, also because Kyle made me, but you're not crazy for feeling the way that you feel. Other people feel, you feel this way. Mm-hmm. I feel this way. When you talk, it makes me want to cry because I feel more seen and understood in this 30-minute conversation than I do trying to figure out the next step of my career with other people. That is so beautiful. And I think your art, you're different too, because your art speaks so much for itself. It's like your live show is one of the best I've ever seen. And I was just like looking at Paul. I guess Paul had seen you before, but I hadn't. But I was looking at him like, are you kidding me? Like, it's just so unbelievable that it doesn't have, nothing has to be superficial or forced upon people. Because if you see your show, it just speaks for itself. So that's also, it's, and PAC is tonight. Tell everyone about PAC.
Because yes, so it's Thursday. So we'll be at the Saxon at 6 o'clock. And PAC is just a project that was born out of, I think we all were needing each other and we didn't even know it. I certainly was. Like, I miss my sisters. I come from like a big female family. And when you're over here, you have to build your own wee network. And I think I was getting to a point where I'm like, gosh, I'm so far away from my sisterhood and like my real sisters. And I was given the Monday night. It started at Sea Boys, given that Monday night. And it was myself and Ruby Dice, because
Ruby Dice, I love her.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was, we were out dog walking one day, and I was like, "What if we did like this girl jam thing?" And we started it off, and then the like first group that we set up was the group that is now PAC, and it was like a no brainer. I was just like, "Oh, this dynamic is insane!" Because it was Carrie Hudson, Kelly Green, Paige DeChaussee, and then it was Ruby Dice at the time. And then things, evolved. I think, was it after pandemic? I'm terrible with details, but we got offered the slot at the Saxon at 6 o'clock, because it very quickly grew, because it was just honest. Like, we would meet up and eat an insane amount of cheese and drink so much wine until we fell off our chairs. Meant to be rehearsing songs. We'd be like, yeah, we'll get it all good. And we'll go in and we'll be like, feel all harmonies. And then we just be like, oh, we're really drunk. And we'll just get on stage and whatever happens on Thursday will happen. Yeah. And that's the charm of it. It just, and it is good. You know, it's really high quality, but it comes from love, you know? And yeah, it changed because Ruby Dice wanted to kind of go her own direction, and then we brought in Violet from Madame Radar, and that just like locked it all in. And now we're at the Saxon every Thursday at 6 o'clock, and it is absolutely packed.
Oh my gosh. Do you change the songs, or is it you have rehearsals
now? That we've been doing it for like 6 years, so we all know each other's songs inside out, so we have got to that harmonies and things like that. I love bringing my new songs there. Like, that's my favorite first spot to pop them in. We've got our sets now. We actually just recorded an album at the Saxon, and it came out so beautifully. And we're going to try and get it out by She Rises. Yeah. Wow. And it's so honest and real, because we keep the stories in. We're all laughing with each other. Like, Violet's bass had a problem. Like, it's such a real experience live album. But yeah, that's PAC in a nutshell.
And that is so great. And we love Saxon Pub, man. They were one of the first people to ever even give me a chance. And I'm so glad that they're...
Yeah, what they're a great family.
Great family. I love them. I really got to go to one of those shows sometime soon. Kyle,
why don't you come and sit in with us?
Listen,
it's so much fun.
I'm just going to cry the whole time in the audience.
We cry on stage the entire time. Like last week, I think three of us were crying at once.
Great.
And then we were crying laughing at the same time because somebody said something ridiculous. Like, you have to come
magical
and sit in
experience.
With us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love Carrie Hudson too. I met her, and then, you know, it was Hunter that was running sound. It was his wife, whatever. And then I was like, I'm sorry. That voice, hello, what? She's incredible. And so this year I'm so excited she's going on the same cruise
Well, she's at She Rises too. She's doing a full band at She Rises.
I just could not love her more. She's so funny too and so talented. And Kelly Green, of course, she's been on this podcast. Like, I just love it. And I'm so excited. What did we miss? Because I feel like we got most of it.
Yeah. No, I think that's everything.
I just really wish we lived geographically closer. Because as soon as I met you, I was like, I know we need to hang out. But then you're crazy busy. I'm crazy busy.
I'm trying to slow it down though. I'm definitely opening a new realm in my life where I want to like read books and sit on my porch.
I know. Mm-hmm. We haven't even built our bookshelves yet, and our books are all in that shed out there. And so when I get the urge to read, sometimes I get on my phone. And I'm like, no, this is not.
Yeah.
I want a book. Hold and I want book. Some tea and less alcohol. And I never thought I'd say those words.
Yeah. But it just comes when it's meant to come, right?
Yeah.
Like I'm still scared from my hangover from my birthday. So like, it's like the hangovers start to teach you way more. They're like, no, this is not how we do it. We're not a teenager anymore. Right. Even though in the moment you drank like you were.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
The next week is going to be hell.
I know. Yeah. It takes me a few days too. That's so funny. And I was joking with you, obviously, but poor Andrea had a food poisoning incident. Uh-huh. And I thought if you had an actual stomach bug, I'd try to get you to come give it to me so I could lose 10 pounds.
I know. That's how sick I was, because I was like, I know how funny this is and this is me. I would say that, but I was like,
I cannot get up to get my phone.
Yeah.
Well, we are so glad. I can't believe you came here on a show day too. That's so nice of you. I love it. And please go follow everything that you do, everything. Andrea McGee, M-A-G-E-E. Wait, yes. Did I spell that right?
No, that's right.
And just please get to a live show. Get to the festival. The drum alone, but then your voice and your songwriting is, this last record, Wild Woman, you should just be so proud. I could gush it for days. It was so good. It belongs in film. It belongs in movies.
It's got a cinematic feel. My band are just cinematic. Like they just have those layers. That's what they do. And I just get to float on top of them. Yeah.
That is so nice. Wait, where'd you record it?
I recorded it at Wire Recording with Stuart Sullivan. Cool. I've done a lot of my albums. We did a two Beatroot albums with him. I love him. He is an earth angel, Stuart Sullivan. He did all the like Sublime records, and he's just the most incredible human.
I've never worked with him. We love to give producers and studios shout outs where they deserve. Okay. Yeah. Well, I love you so much.
I'm very proud of you.
And
I'm just so excited that we're going to be in Taos July.
Be in my homeland.
16 to 18. Yeah. So where is home for you?
Las Cruces. So it's like way south, 4 hours south.
4 hours probably. From Taos.
Yeah.
But beautiful part of the world.
It's New Mexico. We kind of all lump it into one. It's so spiritual there. And just the history of New Mexico is so fascinating. And I just got back from Santa Fe. So
got your earrings, by the way? They're amazing.
These are actually Kendra Scott's.
Oh, they're beautiful.
I know, aren't they? They're very
Aztec.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. I was channeling my
ancestors.
my energy, because you always look so good. And
I love that. Yeah, I know. I've been watching them. I'm like, they are strong.
Thank you. Well, yeah. We're going into the weekend strong, because I'm not drinking for the next 3 days, so I need some strength.
I'm on a month ban from my iPad. I felt.
Dang.
What do you say at the Saxons tonight? I'll order a margarita. I'll be like, oh, well.
Well, Kelly and Carrie are here. Yeah, Violet, I got to order a margarita. Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for the interview.
You're an amazing human.
Oh,
appreciate it.
It's right back at you.
Oh.
I don't need a reason to be kind. Just need some patience and time to heal myself. This heart that I own, it sometimes slips. The youngest of three, I felt abandoned on the ship. Never alone when I'm with you, yet I nurse this broken heart. Color inside me is shifting and the light sometimes gets dark. Don't let it define you. Don't let it define you. Don't let it define you.